Welcome to my Love Life Podcast, episode number 219, How Did You Get Put Together? It's February 21st, 2024. I'm your host, Lisa A. Lundy, author, blogger, YouTuber, motivational speaker, and sometimes funny girl. I am also a member of the Newsweek Expert Forum. What I do is I help people be happy, healthy, and well-loved, even when life is extremely difficult. As my disclaimer, this podcast does not constitute medical or therapy advice in any way. There's no longer any music for my podcast intros or outros. I invite you to join the movement and get other social media content creators to ditch the music when combined with voice. That would be helpful to people who are hard of hearing or have hearing loss. End of non-musical intro. How did you get put together? Well, I don't know if you've ever spent any time pondering that question. Well, if you've been in therapy, you may have. If you've done some work on yourself, you certainly may have. But before I break this apart, I would like to remind you, as I said in my podcast intro, nothing I say in this podcast is designed or intended to be medical or therapy advice in any fashion. Also, if you are feeling hopeless or life is too hard for you or you've been thinking about suicide, please call 1-800-273-8255 or call or text 988. My intention with this podcast, How Did You Get Put Together, is to answer the question, or at least provide the data. People will frequently say, how did I end up this way? I don't know if you've ever said, how did I end up this way? But that's a conversation I've had with many people over my entire lifetime. How did I end up this way? And we have been deconstructing me, Lisa, and how I got put together since the summer. Well, it started in 2018 when I got kicked out of therapy, but we really dug in under the microscope in the summer of 2022 after I learned from other people that I was extraordinary in emotional processing. And we began to wonder, like, how did I end up this way? How did I end up with those skills that no one taught me, I never read about? So my request for you is that whether you're happy with how you are or you're unhappy with how you are or you're somewhere middle of the road or you're kind of more towards one or the other, that you bring a huge, dose of compassion to yourself if you're not happy with how you turned out or how you ended up or how you are. Now, this content, what I'm about to cover, can help you build self-awareness or grow in self-awareness, which is very helpful in terms of emotional intelligence. You could, as a result, have a breakthrough with a habit or a pattern or some belief or mindset that no longer serves you. You could have a wider view of life as a result, and the complexities of being human, because that might be helpful. That might be a life-changing thing for you. And you may discover things that you're either not conscious of or that you may have forgotten. This is purely an informational podcast to cover the ground of the top, like 25 things that influence or impact or shape or form you when you're getting put together as a person. Normally, this starts in childhood. It's very seamless. It happens without our knowledge. Right out of the gates, I will say that, you know, using neuroplasticity of the brain can change anything about you, your life, your temperament, etc. So if you're not happy with how you are right now or how you turned out or how you ended up, the game's not over. I mean, unless you call it over, the game's not over. And I say this now because my experience with individuals who have low self-esteem or they don't feel good enough or they don't feel worthy or they do not feel deserving is that they will immediately say, see, look, I'm a mess, I'm a loser, I'm wrong. They can take any content and kind of turn it around like that. I don't want you doing that because you're not stuck. with how you are if you're not happy with it. And what would be more valuable or as valuable would be, for, besides bringing compassion to yourself for however you are and however you feel about yourself, would be to bring some curiosity and wonder, like, how did I get put together? So I'm going to cover the top many things that will shape, form, influence, or impact how you got put together. This is not the end-all be-all list, but it's a good long list. So number one is adverse childhood experiences or traumas. If you have never heard of the adverse childhood experiences, or you have not taken the adverse childhood experiences test, there is a free adverse childhood experiences test online offered by many sites. It is only 10 questions. And what that means is it's pretty easy to take the test. You will then get a score of, you know, between 1 and 10 that indicates the level of adverse childhood experiences you have, which kind of equates to traumas. And this research on adverse childhood experiences is not all inclusive. That's only 10 questions, so they're only looking at kind of 10 areas. They don't include lots of things like discrimination. There are many areas not covered, but it's still a tool. You can take that test for free. It takes literally no time. See what your score is, because we know that adverse childhood experiences shape and influence how people got put together. They can end up with trauma responses. So, all right, so the first thing is adverse childhood experiences or traumas, but I've given you now a test you can go take if you want to look at that. I mean, it's available. Number two, generational traumas and triumphs. I recently did a podcast about this. I only found out about generational trauma last year in 2023, and it was like amazing to me because, first of all, we're early in the research on generational trauma. They're not exactly sure how it all transmits. You know, how does it go from one generation to the next? And like sometimes it just seems like it's almost invisible. So I do have a podcast on generational traumas and triumphs, but that absolutely, without your knowledge, could for sure and is likely to have impacted you in some way, even if it's a generational triumph or trauma that your family's not talking about. Or it could be a triumph. It's not all bad. Number three, trauma bonding. Since we only found out about betrayal trauma and betrayal blindness in 2023, the other thing that came up was trauma bonding, which I found fascinating. If you've had trauma, like most of us, it's extremely likely, or it's very predictable, that you might be trauma bonded with someone. But you won't probably be able to see it right away, because we have, thanks to Jennifer Frade's work from the University of Oregon, a kind of forgetting or a not knowing in betrayal trauma, which she calls betrayal blindness. So trauma bonding would be under the trauma blindness, and you wouldn't see it. But once you start to see people as, yeah, you know what, they're really not on my team. Yeah, they really are a little abusive, or they're very abusive. You can then start to make note and disconnect from trauma bonds. But it's very likely. Number four, positive childhood experiences. Well, we tend to focus on the negative. There is a negativity bias in the world. I don't have that bias, but that exists. And positive childhood experiences can impact how you got put together in huge ways, according to the research, and have a mediating effect on negative experiences. So you could have gotten a good report card or a good grade. You could have made a friend or had a best friend or been included in a group or got picked for a team. There's so many positive experiences for children. So that would form and shape you as well. Number five is parents. Well, we have on one extreme of the continuum, very, very good, loving, kind parents. Then we have everything in between until we get to the far end of the other side of the continuum, which is evil, bad parents. We do know from the research under the parenting umbrella that up to 70% of parents play favorites, which is a very toxic and bad trait and harmful to not only the child or children who are not the favorite, but it doesn't benefit the child who is the favorite like you would think. And so parents who are dysfunctional or toxic or have addictions or problems, this parents, whole umbrella of parents, deep impacts in shaping you, informing you in how you got put together. Number six, sibling bullying or mistreatment. Well, I recently did a podcast on sibling bullying and mistreatment, a topic we are not speaking about, and it's barely being researched. I did include research in that podcast, of course, like I normally do. Yet it's a stunning problem. So up to 80% of American youth are bullied or mistreated by a sibling. This is referred to in the literature as the forgotten abuse or the silent epidemic. It's largely minimized or completely normalized. That sibling abuse has been normalized. Now this area, sibling bullying or mistreatment, would absolutely shape or form you or impact you on how you got put together, good or bad. Number seven, psychological safety. You may have had psychological safety, you may not, and you may have had intermittent or a lower level, or there's all kinds of levels for psychological safety. People need psychological safety. That's where their emotions are safe. That's where they're validated. They know they're emotionally safe and they have psychological safety. Where you see people who do not or did not have psychological safety is people who are closed-minded more often than not. In a closed-minded individually, typically they cannot root around in their mind to look at new ideas, new thoughts, new points of view because they're closed-minded. But the reason is because they haven't had psychological safety in their life, according to the research. And therefore, because they have lacked psychological safety, it's not safe for them to root around in their mind and explore new ideas. So your level of psychological safety, low, high, in between, all or whatever it was, would impact how you got put together. Number eight, attitudes, beliefs, and mindsets. By either exposure, by role model, by comparison, by choice, or by other means, you picked up, adopted, or created attitudes, beliefs, or mindsets. Or attitudes, beliefs, and mindsets in some fashion. You have them, whether you're aware of your attitudes or beliefs or mindsets or not, you have them, and that's part of how you got put together, is by your attitudes, mindsets, and beliefs. Number nine, decisions, conscious and unconscious. There are decisions we make as human beings that we are quite conscious of, and then there are decisions we have made in our unconscious or subconscious mind that we are not aware of because it wasn't a conscious decision. If you're not familiar with the unconscious and subconscious mind, I do have a podcast on that. I highly recommend you get familiar with that because that's what drives your life. But decisions will color and shape how you put together. And I have talked in some podcasts about deciding I was going to be playful and fun in high school when I grew up. I mean, I'm aware of some decisions I made. All right. Number 10, rational or irrational thinking. You probably have one or the other or some mix. I do not have a hard and fast statistic on the prevalence of irrational thinking or rational thinking, but it certainly seems from the research I've looked at that irrational thinking is significantly higher, like over 60 or maybe 70% or maybe even higher, I don't know, than rational thinking. So somehow, more likely from people you're around and influences, etc., you ended up with either rational thinking or irrational thinking or some other version. Number 11, your self-worth or self-esteem. Oh boy. Well, this was for sure influenced by many factors and many different things when you were growing up or later in your adult life. So one of the influences that can impact your self-worth or self-esteem is whether you have rational thinking. So self-worth, self-esteem. Number 12, influences on your thinking. Oh my heavens, people. What did we learn in the last month or two from the research? Thought precedes emotion. So your thoughts are really the driving train of your emotions if a thought precedes emotion. And that makes sense to me, and it's what the research is indicating. But how do you think? Well, I have a podcast titled Influences on Your Thinking that covers 16 different influences on your thinking. You might have a negativity bias, which would influence your thinking. It would influence not only your thinking, but how you got put together. I happen to have the optimism bias, people, which we are well aware of, and I'm okay with. But there are many different things that would influence your thinking and do influence your thinking currently that would help form or shape you in how you got put together. Number 13 is friends. Friends can have a very big impact on how you ended up this way or how you got put together, positive or negative. Not having enough friends, not being able to spend time with good friends, or not having good friends, or having mean friends, can really alter how you got put together. 14, education. How you got put together is very likely, highly likely, to be influenced in one or many ways by the type of education you received. This could be a good influence, it could be bad, it could be neutral, it could be good in this way and bad in that way, but this is very likely to have played a significant role in how you got put together, whether you're aware of it or not. 15, activity, sports, club, music. I've lumped these all together. If you were involved in an activity or a sport or club or music or drama or something, it's very likely that you were influenced and shaped and formed, and it contributed positively or negatively to how you got put together in some way. More often than not, it's positive, but these things, if there's bullying involved or something else in the club, the sport, or whatever, could have a negative impact as well. Number 16, religion. If you were exposed to religion as a child, young person, or early in life, this could have a major impact on how you got put together. Now, many times young people are exposed to religion or practice religion, and then after they turn 18 or they move out of the house or they go to college or they're living on their own, they completely ditch themselves or, you know, divorce the religion, if you will. And that's okay too. It may still have had an impact in or informing or shaping you, which again could be positive or could be negative. Number 17, your personal values or your core values. Well, by some means, whether it's role modeling, exposure, decisions, or something else that you might not be aware of, you have some personal or core values that are at the core of who you are. And they contribute to shaping and forming how you got this way, how you were put together. Number 18, something else that can impact how you got put together is your health or wellness, or your lack of health or wellness. That could be an influence. Number 19, intimate partner relationships. It's not uncommon that young people under the age of 18 will have an intimate relationship of some type. Now, intimate partner relationships can impact how you got put together at any age. It's not limited to under 18. But early intimate relationships can be more influential instead setting the stage of what you'll tolerate or not tolerate or how relationships go for you. But intimate partner relationships in young life or adult life can be very influential in how you got put together or how you ended up this way. Number 20, emotional abilities. Well, you ended up as a human being the way you are based on some part, some level on your emotional abilities. We know from the prevalent statistics, emotional intelligence is not high in the world. And we know that that means we don't have a high percentage of people who have high emotional abilities. Overall, as a society, we have a very low emotional ability quotient, low emotional intelligence. But your emotional abilities, wherever they are, will influence and impact how you got put together or how you ended up this way. Number 21, jobs outside the home. A job outside the home at any age can be very influential on you and your life. There is no doubt about that. Now, when you have a young person, the first job outside the home or any job outside the home for a young person can be very impactful because they're more likely to be in the formation stage of putting themselves together, making decisions. Number 22, what you were reading, if anything, or what you are reading. If you were a young person growing up and you read a lot of books or magazines, that could have had a minor or major influence on how you got put together and any decisions that you made. I haven't told the title of a book we found out late last year that I was reading in 10th grade. I don't know if we ever will, but it was basically a very adult parenting book. So I'm sure that influenced me. I'm sure it had some impact. We're not sure why I was reading it. All right, we do know I was the neighborhood babysitter, so there could be any number of reasons why I was reading it, but anything that you were reading could have had an influence in how you got put together. Number 23, I'm listing as observational decisions. That's my terminology. I don't know if anybody's used that terminology before, but I say that because I made some decisions by observing people and observing how people do life. It was amazing. I would babysit and look at those parents, and I'd babysit for a different family, and I'd look at the dynamic of those parents, and I certainly observed teachers and school staff, like, you know, so you could have been observing, could have been like a parent even, or a sibling, or could have been an aunt, uncle, grand, you could have observed anyone or any situation, and made a decision by observation. Oh, I'm never going to be that way. Or, oh, I'm never going to have that problem. Or, oh, I'm going to be exactly like him or exactly like her. Or, you know, so observational decisions. These, by the way, are conscious decisions. Number 24, I have listed as hobbies, separate from activities, music, club, sports. Hobbies can be very valuable to people as a coping strategy for life, but they can also be influential in terms of how you got put together. And if you get hobbies later in life, it could be influential in how you do life now. Hobbies, I'm a big fan of hobbies. They can be complete game changers for life and have a very, very strong and positive impact on people. Number 25, exposure to addictions, mental health disorders, domestic abuse, economic abuse, and other things. These are very serious situations that would have a big impact, not only from the adverse childhood experiences, but from a broader perspective. Be influential, be impactful. You might have made decisions. If you had a parent or someone who had a mental health problem or an addiction. So that could be very impactful. Especially if you grew up where there was domestic abuse and economic abuse was going on. Yeah, that would influence how you are about money. Because there was probably never any money if there was economic abuse going on. So that's a total of 25 different areas that can be from minorly to majorly impactful in how you got put together or how you ended up this way. So my next question is it necessary to understand how you got put together? No, it is not necessary, people. It's not necessary at all. Now, it can be helpful. Like, it could be very helpful if you learned that, you know, you had domestic abuse as a generational trauma, because then you could try to protect your kids and let them know and really be helpful in terms of them learning about domestic abuse and economic abuse. So it could be very helpful. It could be helpful if you understood a little bit about how you got put together in building self-compassion. Sometimes when people go take the ACE test and they get a score of 3, 4 or more, then they come back and go, wow, like I'm doing pretty well given the, you know, what I went through. And I'm like, yeah, you're doing really well. Like, it can change your perspective. It could also help you increase your self-awareness and self-mastery. And it can explain some issue that you can't quite figure out. So this is not necessary by any stretch of the imagination, nor am I representing that you need to go do this work. But it's helpful to understand all this. It's helpful. And it might be helpful in a particular state. So I've laid out 25 different things that impact how you got put together, how it all happened. But the thing is, this all happened without fanfare, without any grand announcement. Like, this was happening quietly in the background, in stealth, without you knowing. I mean, there may have been conscious decisions you made, which you would know you made a conscious decision. But for the most part, people growing up from all of humanity don't have this general awareness that this A, B, C, D, or E, or X, Y, or Z could impact us and how. We just don't kind of get that. We didn't get a manual. We didn't get a manual when we were born. And we're just kind of going through life. So it is kind of amazing on one hand that all these things come together and that you got put together the way you got put together. But it's really one of those things that just kind of happens and then poof, there you are. And how did that happen? So you do not need to know how it happened. You don't need to go digging through these 25 things. But you, at some point, if you bump up against something, it might be helpful. Now, are you happy with how you got put together? Well, I think that's a good question. I think that's the right question. Based on the statistics of 85% of the population having low self-esteem, that is the number that no one seems to contest, I would have to assert that a lot of people are not happy with how they ended up, or they're not happy with how they got put together. I think that's what that means. I'm not in the 85%. I have standalone self-esteem, and I'm not happy with every bad thing that happened to me, but I'm happy with how I got put together and how I ended up, and I've been happy about that since high school. Or before. Like, I actually think it was before, because I was standing up for myself and I was okay with who I was in the fifth grade and possibly before. So if you're happy with how you got put together and how you ended up, yay, 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 clap and cheer. If you're not happy with how you ended up or how you got put together, then guess what? You can change it. You can change almost anything about yourself. But the question is, are you happy with how you got put together? Yes, no, maybe. I'm happy about this, but I'm not happy about that. Or I'm happy about these 10 things, but not these 3. You're like, I don't know. That's the question for you to answer. Is, are you happy with how you ended up? Are you happy with how you got put together? So I have some suggestions. If you don't like how you got put together, or you're not happy with how you ended up, or you have 2 or 3 things that you're not happy about, because we don't do all or nothing here, so you might be 80% happy with how you turned out and how you got put together, and there might be a lot of things you'd like to tweak. Like, wherever you are about it is fine, but here are some suggestions. Number one, if you're not happy with how you got put together or how you ended up, what don't you like? What don't you like about yourself or your traits or your habits? Like, what are you unhappy about? Make a list. Just write it down. Number two, my next suggestion is use neuroplasticity to rewire or reprogram your brain. This is what we know about neuroplasticity. If you use intentional actions or stimulus or something repeatedly over time, you will create new neuronal pathways. That's what neuroplasticity is. It's rewiring or reprogramming the brain. And you can use affirmations or signs to support this. So if there's something you're not happy about with how you got put together, then use neuroplasticity and get to work on it. Number three, you could embrace where you are right now and appreciate how you are and who you are and how you got put together right now. Like, you could. That's an option. I like it as an option, but some of you I know won't like it. I'm a fan of appreciating who I am in the moment, and I'm evolving and changing, and I will be evolving and growing for the rest of my life, people. That's the way it is. But I do love it when people embrace where they are, right here, right now, and everything that happened to them. So that's an option. Number four, get on board with the power of your mind, influences on your thinking, and learn to control your mind. Those are three separate podcasts that will definitely, in my humble opinion, be impactful on you and how you do life moving forward. So there's three podcasts for you that I think are very critical. Number five, for vitality, youthfulness, and ease of living and well-being, I recommend you adopt a growth mindset. Carol Dweck from Stanford is apparently the one who kind of brought that terminology to the fore, growth mindset versus fixed mindset. I think you'll find the advantages are for a growth mindset. Number six, you might need to do some healing, which, if that's the case, I recommend it. And you might have to take some time to do some healing. I have no idea if you need to heal or not. Most of us do need to do a little healing. Yes, most of us do. You might not, and that's okay. I am a fan of healing. I'm not an expert in healing, except I've been doing it my whole life, so I'd have to look at that. Oh no, there's another area to deconstruct. I don't know if I want to do that. So you might need to do some healing, and you might need to take some time to do them. Number seven, emotional abilities. Oh, please use my free workbook. Version 7.0, if it's not up already, will be up. Well, it'll probably for sure be up by the time this podcast publishes, because I'm ahead of my timeline. I'm recording and scheduling podcasts for publications a week or more in advance. So by the time this one airs, for sure, workbook version 7.0 will be up. But learn to use your mind and your thoughts and then your emotions. They all go together beautifully. Number eight, boost love, affection, and happiness. In my Power of Your Mind podcast, The Power of Your Mind, I talk about how the perceptions of love changes your blood chemistry. That's a fact rooted in science, backed by science, not fringe science, that I think everyone should know. So the power of your mind is something you should know about, and how perceptions and imagery in your mind will change your blood chemistry is something else you should know. So there, boost your love, boost your affection, boost your happiness. It can be platonic love and affection. It doesn't have to be romantic, people. It's whatever you want. And happiness. And I have lots of podcasts about happiness. Number nine, make it your goal to be well loved and have a beautiful life, which you can do even if you are dealing with major problems or major life challenges, which is called post-traumatic growth. I know all about having big problems. I've had big problems my whole life, so, and I deal with them, and I still have this beautiful life. So you might be surprised at the things that influenced you, formed you, and shaped you, to be who you are. You might be or you might not be. I don't know. Like, I will tell you that my seventh grade science teacher picked me to lead the class dissection on worms, and I was so disgusted because I wouldn't even touch a worm. But she was a great teacher, and she said, oh, no, you're doing it. I'll show you how. And she did, and I did lead the class seventh grade class dissection on worms, which was, I wasn't laughing about it then, but I was not laughing about it at all. But she was a remarkable teacher. That was a remarkable experience. She's actually an extraordinary human being, and that was an extraordinary experience for someone like me to have in the seventh grade. So you, as a human being, you had a large number of things that influenced you, conscious decisions, unconscious decisions that came together quietly, in stealth, that you weren't aware of, and so that leaves you where you are. Well, if you're happy with who you turned out to be or how you got put together, yay, yay, yay. And if you're not, you could embrace how you are, you can embrace how you got put together, you can embrace how you ended up, and you can do something about it. If there's something about yourself that you're not happy with, like, listen, I'm always growing and developing. We've learned all. I have issues. I have issues. I have problems. I'm just like everybody else. The difference is I get to work on it. When I realize I have a problem or an issue, I just get to work on it. Like, I don't have it be a big deal. I just go, oh, yeah, I'm guarded. I guess I could do something about that. I do, however, really strongly, strongly, strongly recommend that you be compassionate with yourself. If you're not happy with how you got put together, please be kind to yourself. Be compassionate. Like, we don't understand how we got to put together because no one told us we were being put together when we were being put together. This is why it's so amazing. Like, it's amazing that any of us made it. Like, how did we end up this way? I don't know. But hopefully you'll see that this content could be useful in your self-awareness. It could be useful in many other ways. And in particular, in you moving towards feeling good enough. What I request you do not do is do not use this content as a further indictment or statement that you're not good enough. You are already good enough. I promise you that. Now, if you're a bad person doing bad things, stop it. Okay? That doesn't mean you're not good enough, by the way. It means you're doing bad things. But whether or not you believe it is a whole different issue and consideration. I hope this has been helpful. I do love you. That's it for now. I'm Lisa Lundy saying thank you for listening to my Love Life podcast. Episode number 219, How Did You Get Put Together? I hope this was helpful. I hope you're going to use it to your advantage no matter where you stand about it. And please share this podcast on social media because people would probably be a little interested in how they got put together. All right, that's it. I love you. Take care.